work on some spiritual muscles so that we can gain some strength in our walk with the Lord. So another thing that tests do that I want to call your attention to before we talk about this test in Genesis 22 is that tests provide us an opportunity to reveal our faith to others. The fact of the matter is, as we are walking in obedience, as we're making the most of our time and we're walking with the Lord, those that know that you are a Christian, those people that know that you follow Christ and you live for the Lord, they are watching you. They're watching to see how you respond to trials and adversity. I just read an article this week. Maybe you've seen it. Walter, I can't think of his last name, but he is the CEO of Charles Schwab. And he has a very interesting technique when he interviews a new candidate. He will go to breakfast and he will get there early before the applicant gets there. And he will talk to the manager and he'll tell the manager, hey, I want you to mess up this applicant. I want you to mess up their order. I don't care what you do. Don't worry, I'm going to give a big tip, but I want you to mess up his order. And he does that, he says, because he wants to see how they're going to respond in adversity. He says it's a way that I can look into their heart. It's a way that I can get into their head to see how they respond. In the very same way, when we experience trials in our walk with the Lord, others are watching to see what's really in our heart, to see whether or not we're going to live out what we profess to believe. And so tests give us an opportunity to reveal our faith to others. And really, faith is revealed, if you think about it, not by how many times you go to church. Our faith is revealed when we're tested. So I read verses like Psalm 26 at verse 2 that just amazes me. But when I understand what tests do, I get it. I get why David would say, prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind, for your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. David says, test me, God, because test will reveal my level of faith. It will reveal whether or not I am mature in my relationship with you. It's been said people are a lot like tea bags. You don't know what's in them until you put them in hot water. And tests will reveal exactly what is in us. So Genesis chapter 22 revealed to us the story of a man by the name of Abraham. And we call Abraham the father of faith. Abraham has experienced a lot of tests in his life. But Abraham's life illustrates a faith that perseveres in the midst of trials. He had to leave his homeland, you might recall, not knowing where he was going. He had to endure a famine, not knowing when the rains would come. He had to separate from his nephew Lot, not knowing who his companion would be. He had to wait for a son, not knowing how God would bring it about. But God brought about that son, that promised son. And in Genesis chapter 22, God would give Abraham the ultimate test, the ultimate final. I want to read, beginning Genesis 22, starting at verse 1. It says, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, let me stop there. Listen, we have information that Abraham does not have. Abraham does not know that he is being tested, but we know. So let's watch the test. God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and so they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord shall be provided. Abraham had planned his entire life around this boy, Isaac. If you go back, you can read of the promises in Genesis chapter 15 that Abraham would be the father of a great nation. And the only way he could be a father of a great nation if he was to have the promised son. And so the promise, that great promise, was centered around this boy. And now what God does during this final exam is ask Abraham to give the promise back. As I said, Abraham's had a lot of tests in his life, but this would be the final exam. And I think when we see this story, we see this as a story of a man with unshakable faith. We see this as a man who was willing to walk in obedience to the Lord. And I think it's a story that will inspire us to have great, unshakable faith as we walk in the Lord. So what I want to do this morning, having read that text, I want to give ourselves a little bit of an exam. I want to ask ourselves four questions that come from this text, and we can decide whether or not if we're walking in obedience. And the first question is this: is my first response obedience? When God commands, is my first response obedience? I think the only thing really more amazing than the fact that God would ask Abraham to offer up his son was Abraham's response to it. You know, don't miss this. Isn't it amazing that God says, look, I want you to take your only son, the son whom you love, the son of promise, and I want you to go and offer him as a sacrifice on the mountain. And verse 3 simply says, Abraham rose early the next morning. Now, I don't know about you, but I could have come up with a lot of excuses as to why I would have delayed that trip. I could have said, God, I've got a lot to do around the land. I have so many cattle and sheep and things I have to tend to. I have to make sure that my wife is taken care of. I have to make sure that the servants know what they're doing. I have a lot of responsibilities here, God. Could you ask me to do that some other time? He could have responded like Jonah. You remember how Jonah responded when God told Jonah to go and preach to the Ninevites. And Jonah decided that he was going to run away from God. That's not the response of Abraham. Abraham simply rises in the morning and he goes. There is no hint of reluctance at all. There's no hesitation. He doesn't ask his friends. He doesn't take a poll trying to figure out what it is that he should do. He simply obeys. You imagine what that journey was like. Abraham and Isaac, no doubt, father and son, they've built a relationship together. They've worked together. We'll talk in a moment about how it's evident that they've worshiped together. They had this relationship, this father-son relationship. They've spent time together. Can you imagine what it would be like to travel with the son whom you love, knowing that you're going to put him on an altar for a sacrifice? What would you talk about? Would you ask Isaac questions just to hear him respond, just to know what his voice sounds like? Do you reminisce about old times, things that you've done in the past? Did he travel slowly or did he move fast? Well, the only thing that we know that is certain is that even though Abraham could not tell Isaac the details of what was ahead, Abraham didn't really know the details himself. All Abraham knew is that faith expresses itself in obedience. Faith always expresses itself in obedience to God. And Abraham knew that obedience and delay and hesitation do not mix. Think about it. We know the commands of God. But there are times in our life when we want to delay, when we want to hesitate, because we want to know the end game. We want to know what happens after we obey. But oftentimes it doesn't work that way. We have to obey God and then deal with the consequences later. We can't just sit back and delay waiting for God to change his mind. He's not going to do that. And sometimes we wonder, why is it that God would command me to do this? Sometimes God doesn't give us the answer to that. It makes me think of a child asking their parents, why do I need to do this? Why do I need to clean my room? Why do I need to make my bed, like we talked about this morning? Well, because I said so. And that should be a sufficient answer, because God has commanded us. But the only way that you can ever get to that point in your walk with the Lord where you're going to say, I'm going to obey, and I'm going to obey immediately because God has said so, is if you have an obedient, self-sacrificing attitude. Jesus would say in Luke 9 and verse 23, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. See, Abraham had already done this. Abraham had already denied himself. He's proven time and time again that he is willing to put his needs behind him and to follow God in whatever God has asked him to do. He was prepared for this moment. And so I ask you the question this morning, ask myself the question this morning, when I am faced with a test in this life, when there is a command for me to obey during the test, will I obey? Or will I wait? Will I be able to say, as the psalmist said in Psalm 119 at verse 60, I hasten and do not delay in keeping your commandments? Sometimes those commandments are hard to keep. You know, to ask a child, hey, you need to eat this ice cream, that's a pretty easy command to follow. But then when you start heading out some harder commands, and some harder things you want your children to do, then all of a sudden it gets harder and harder to obey those commandments. And sometimes I think with the commands of God, we hear a command to forgive. How often should I forgive, Lord? 70 times 7. Am I willing to do that? Am I willing to forgive immediately, or will I delay? The question this morning is my first response to the command of God obedience? Second of all, consider this question. Is my Isaac more important than my God? Here's what I mean by that question. Consider once again what Isaac meant to Abraham. He is the only child of his beloved wife, Sarah. Now, he is the personal evidence, the personal manifestation of God's promise, and that God keeps his promises. I want you to go back in your New Testament. Go to Romans chapter 4, and I want to read this text to you in Romans chapter 4. Look at what Paul says about the father of faith here in Romans chapter 4, at verse 18. Romans 4, at verse 18. It says, in hope, he believed, he being Abraham, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. Watch verse 21. Fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And so when Abraham looks at Isaac, he is saying, look, God is able to fully do what he has promised. And now God is saying, I want that promise back. Now God is commanding him, I want your best. And here's the test. God is trying to find out whether or not the gift has become more important than the gift giver. Had Abraham forgotten where the promised son had come from? He wants to know whether or not you will be willing to release what has been given to you. And you think about Abraham had lived a life of releasing. Abraham had lived a life of letting go. He let go, remember, of his homeland. He let go of his family. He let go with Lot. He let go with Ishmael. Is that the son? Abraham had learned the art of letting go. But do you see what God is doing? He is preparing Abraham for this moment. He's preparing Abraham for this test. And Abraham is willing to offer up his son. He's willing to offer up his son. You remember what the angel said back in Genesis 22? It's really an amazing phrase that he says in verse 12. Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God. Abraham's greatest fear in his life was displeasing God. That was the overriding principle in his life. I'm not going to do anything that will displease my Lord. He feared God. And because he feared God, he was willing to release. God is a jealous God. God wants our affection. And God will never accept from us, nor would he from Abraham, any second-rate offerings or leftover offerings. And I want you to understand something this morning, that God will relentlessly go after anything that is before him in your life. He will test you. He will try you to see whether or not the gifts that he has given you have become more important than the gift giver. Remember the story of the rich young ruler. He came up to Jesus, Matthew 19. He was asking Jesus, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, well, keep the commandments and the law that you're living. And he said, well, I've done all those things. What do I still lack? Jesus said, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. Then you'll have treasure in heaven. See what Jesus was doing there? Jesus was relentlessly pursuing or going after the one thing in that rich young ruler's life that was more important to him than God. And sadly, the rich young ruler was not willing to let go because he went away sorrowful. Because he had great possessions. But what's your Isaac? What is the one thing in your life that means more to you right now than anything else? Could you give it up? Could you release it if God came asking? Is it a job? Is it a career? Is it a business that you've built? Is it some position that you've wanted? Is it a house? Is it some possession? Is it some investment? Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's a relationship. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying, I don't think for a minute that God's going to speak to you and ask you to sacrifice your child on an altar. But I do believe that God will still test our faith. He will still test our faith to see whether or not we are willing to release those things that get a grip and grab hold of us in our life. Is your Isaac, is my Isaac more important than my God? Number three, is my trust in God's provision? As Abraham and Isaac are traveling, Isaac asks the question, where is the lamb? So evidently, as I said, that Abraham and Isaac, they'd worship together. Isaac knew what it meant to worship God. Now, notice his response. Notice Abraham's response. And I want you to see it here on the screen in verse 5. What he says to the servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and we will come back. What is that all about? Didn't God ask him to sacrifice him on the altar? And yet Abraham, this is not a slip of the tongue. Abraham believed that Isaac was going to walk down that mountain with him. That is trusting in God's provision. He really believed it. He believed that God had the power to bring his son back from the dead. I mean, after all, Isaac was the product of a dead womb. And so Abraham looked back and he knew that God was stronger than death. In Hebrews chapter 11, I've got to read this verse to you. In Hebrews chapter 11, and I want you to look at verse 17, what the Hebrew writer says about the walk of faith of Abraham. In Hebrews chapter 11, at verse 17, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, the son whom he loved, the son of promise, the unique son. He offered up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Watch verse 19. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. That's incredible faith. That's unshakable faith. Abraham, the only thing Abraham could figure is that God's somehow going to bring him back and we're going to walk down this mountain together. So what I want us to see this morning is you're never going to know the provision of God. You're never going to fully trust in God until you have tests. Until you reach a point that you realize that you can't do it on your own, that you have to trust in God. And that's what tests will do to us. They will begin to help us fully trust in God. But those tests are unpleasant. I recognize that. Nobody wants more time in the hospital, the ICU. Nobody wants to spend more time in the funeral home. Nobody wants more problems in their marriage. Nobody wants more problems with a rebellious child. Or nobody wants more problems when it comes to their finances. Nobody wants those tests. Nobody wants those trials. But it's only through those times that we can learn to trust in God. And through that test, Abraham came through it with an unshakable faith because he believed that God would provide. Abraham, he had no idea that while he was ready to sacrifice his son, there was a ram that was coming up. And it was going to be right there caught in that thicket for him to offer a sacrifice to God. The provision of God was already on the way. And so times of testing helps us mature our faith. It proves our faith is real to others. But times of testing also provide an opportunity for God to prove himself real and true to us. So will you trust in God's provision? But the last question I want to leave you with is my faith displayed to my children? I think, as I said, the unique relationship that Abraham had with his son Isaac, they worked together, traveling together, but evidently they had worshiped together. Isaac knew what was necessary for a sacrifice. That's why he's asking the questions. Abraham's faith had been displayed to his son. Isaac is watching this test. He doesn't know the test that's going on, but he watches the test. And you see, when you go through a test, you don't want anyone to have to go through that test. Like you wouldn't wish that upon anyone. But it's through those tests that God can use to bless the lives of others. See, not only is this type of unshakable faith going to change you and mature your faith, but it will also change those around you, especially your children. An unshakable faith, walking in obedience, will help us moms and dads to teach our children to climb up on altars. Isaac is not just a young child. You have to understand that Isaac, no doubt stronger than Abraham at this point in time, Isaac was willing to climb up on that altar. Where did he learn that kind of obedience from? He learned it from his father. He'd seen it displayed. But he had heard his dad say, "I and the boy are going to go up and we will come down." Isaac heard that. So I ask you the question, parents, are we teaching our children to climb up on altars? Are we teaching our children to be living sacrifices for God? Your children are watching how you respond to tests. They see if you respond in panic and fear, or they see if you respond in calm, steady assurance of God. Is your faith being displayed to your children? I wonder what the trip back down was like. I like to think they were singing "Trust and Obey." But they trusted in God and they obeyed. How are you doing in the tests of your life? How do you pass this type of exam? Tests are coming. How you respond is critical. But I want to leave you this morning with the story of Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful foreshadowing of the sacrifice that Jesus would give on the cross for our sins. Isaac, as he carried the wood of his sacrifice, Jesus would do the same. And as Isaac willingly climbed upon the altar, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, willingly climbed and was nailed to a cross so that we could have the forgiveness of our sins. What a loving God. In this time, when Jesus was nailed to the cross, there was no angel to shout, "Stop, now I know." It couldn't be that way because the Son of God had to suffer on the cross so that we could have the forgiveness of our sins. And if you're not a child of God, I want to tell you this morning that the Bible teaches that you are lost in your sins and your only hope is to trust and obey in the Lord. Jesus says, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Will you obey that command immediately today? If we can help you in your relationship with God, come over to the front right now while we stand and sing.
Thy essence as crimson glow.